You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Goal! FC United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's league encounter with Southport.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake. And you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. All the action and reaction to Saturday's match with Southport shortly, but before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with boardroom departure news, as after nearly 2 years at the helm of the club, Chief Executive Damian Chadwick announced his intention to resign his position in the coming weeks. A review of the club's structure and governance arrangements was already being carried out, and a recruitment process will commence based on its recommendations shortly. In the meantime, everyone here at FC Radio would like to wish Damian all the best for the future. Elsewhere, and it was a good week for FC United's youth team on Wednesday evening as they progressed to the qualifying rounds of this season's FA Youth Cup with a 2-1 victory over Nantwich Town.
Nantwich, understandably, as we're into the last minute of this first half, in no hurry to take it really. Oh, Reardon to take this. Nantwich's captain belts the ball forward, but Palinkas is under it and wins the header. And here's Kirkman now. Kirkman, lovely stuff there in midfield. Plays a nice through ball there. Finds Lewins. Lewins opens up his body.
Great goal.
44 minutes on the clock here. FC United go from 1-0 down to 2-1 up just on the stroke of half time. And great play there from Dylan Kirkman.
FC Live there from Wednesday evening, and we'll have more news on who FC United will face in the next round of the FA Youth Cup in the coming weeks. To the men's team, and it's been a busy week for FC United caretaker manager David Chadwick, who has wasted no time in reshaping the squad over the past 7 days.
Just like last week, constantly on the phone, sorting ins and outs out to try and improve us, and obviously much needed, obviously a big trailing going away to England, which, you know, fair play to that, it's a great honour. But with Lloyd injured, obviously we had to act fast. We spoke to Jody Banham and he agreed to release Dave Carnell for us nice and early. So I got him into training Tuesday, Thursday. He's been with the lads, he's worked on a few things with us. So yeah, it's good to have Dave back in the fold.
And obviously we know the qualities of Dave Carnell. What is the arrangement then? Is he going to stay with the club till Lloyd Allen is coming back, or is it going to be like a Spenner Spider situation?
Well, we'll see where it goes. Lloyd Allison's injured for a minimum 6 weeks, 8 weeks. You know, at the minute he's got a couple of months off, so you need competition for places everywhere, don't you?
Let's talk about a couple more of the loan signings who've come into the club this week from Blackburn Rovers. And we'll start with the forward line. Lewis Mansell, 20-year-old, on a short-term loan from Blackburn. Tell us a bit more about him.
Yeah, Lewis, 6'2", lots of pace, lots of hard work, scores goals. He's a bit of a coup in a way. I was speaking to Damian Johnson. It's only happened in the last 2 days. I've been waiting on different clubs. You know, Damian Johnson, he's done brilliant for me. He sorted Lewis Mansell out for... We said we'd do it in for a month and then review it. You know, this is a lad who could have gone to the likes of Wrexham and Fylde. For whatever reason, I don't know, he didn't go. So for us to get him in the league below, you know, I'm really pleased with that. And I'm hoping to see good things from him. We've got a left-back called Lewis Thompson. Again, young, he's well-built. You've got to be careful, obviously, coming out a professional, that all these guys, because, you know, you need them built right for non-league football. So... you know, that's what you've got to look for when you're in discussions. But yeah, another one, Lewis Thompson, left back, great engine, big and strong. And I think he's coming for the first month, and then we'll review that. He'll be no stranger, if any of the Man United fans know, for from the youth set up over the road, because he was at United from 9 till 16 and then moved over to Blackburn Rovers from that for the last 2 years. You know, another one who's on a contract, he earned himself a contract at Blackburn, and they rate him, they rate both of them really highly. Exciting to, I can't wait to see them play.
FC United caretaker manager David Chadwick there speaking to FC Radio on Friday night. And finally, for this week's club news, the SMRE was officially reopened on Saturday afternoon following redevelopment works over the summer. And following the reopening ceremony, Ben caught up with FC United's John Bentley and guest of honour Martin Buchan.
Momentous day underneath the SMRE. How was it?
Good. There was a nice crowd under there. Obviously boosted by Marty's appearance today, which I just think has overshadowed the whole event. It really has. I've got a beaming smile on my face.
It was very impressive. I mean, standing here where we are now, you wouldn't think there'd be such a facility under that stand there.
I mean, is this the first time you've been to Broadhurst?
Yes,
so what do you make of it? I mean, it's not bad for non-league football,
is
it?
I'm so impressed. I was looking for directions to the ground when I came off the motorway, and then I saw the floodlights. You know, non-league clubs never used to have floodlights these high.
No, that's true. That's true. And I mean, what's the atmosphere like under there? I mean, it has been a hell of an achievement, because you know it's the fans who built this stadium ultimately, and who've helped shape underneath there with stakeholders, of course.
Well, they painted it and did everything under there. You know, he was acknowledging all the guys that had helped out. You know.
And what was the reception like under there for yourself, Martin?
Oh, fantastic!
And I mean, underneath there now, what's it going to mean for the club, do you think, going forward, John?
Well, I've been looking at this now for the last 6 months, and the potential underneath there is unlimited. Hopefully, this is a catalyst for us to move into our true community involvement and get ourselves embedded within the Moston community and the wider community. And of course, everybody that comes to FC can enjoy match day under there as well.
So, and of course, you've got Malcolm's under there now.
Malcolm's under there now.
The band's under there. I mean, did you not fancy staying the Perry?
Well, Marty was going to do a guest spot, but I dragged him away for a pint.
We've got Whistler away, but I wouldn't mind going down and see. What sort of band is it?
It's called the Scuttlers. They're from Middleton, I believe. Yep. An old Cullen sign band.
How many?
You're asking me detailed questions there. I'm not prepped for that kind of questioning, Martin, to be honest. But
I wouldn't mind popping down having a look.
Yeah, we can have a wander back.
Yeah.
Well, he could either get a gig there, or I was going to get him a first half, a centre half here. So, because
whatever you do, don't give him a microphone to talk on the halfway line. You don't want that. It might look all splendid here, but the microphone's an issue at the moment, Martin. Yeah. Just to say.
It's on my list, Ben. It's on my list. But going back to the SMRE, all of the people there that have worked hard, and the people that are going forward with the club now, we're proud of what we've done. And hopefully, having councillors here today and Martin, the profile of that will be raised, and the atmosphere in the club. We need a boost, as you well know.
Yes.
You know, we need football on the pitch and off the pitch. We need a boost.
What are you expecting football-wise today, Martin? Are you expecting a? I mean, it's nice conditions for it, isn't it?
It is. I was just saying to John earlier. He happened to notice the rain was coming down. I said, yeah, but in my day, you only used to water the pitch if it rained, you know. But
yeah, absolutely.
The height of summer, they water the pitch before a game now. I must say, standing up here with these earphones, I feel like Gary Neville. Sky TV.
You're a really nice guy.
But anyway, just a quick question just before we go then. I mean, what's next for Broadhurst Park? Because this was like a real big deal. Done it now. What's next?
Well, what we need to do is make our guests, I mean, Martin's here today and I hope has been made to feel welcome, but we need to make our away fans that come here feel more comfortable. So I think long term, we need to develop the far end of Lightbound Road end. Get some terracing in there. Maybe Mr. Neville could help with that when they move on elsewhere in the future. You never know. But that, for
it's
me,
it's Meccano, that stadium at the moment.
Well,
isn't it?
Listen, we'll take it. You know, we could make that look a permanent fixture. But yeah, I think long term that would be our next thing. We've got the new cabins here, catering cabin and a away toilet block here. But I think long term that, for me, to make away supporters have the experience of Broadhurst Park. And in comfort and enjoy it is important.
Well, I won't keep you because you need to go watch that Middleton band, the Scuttlers. But Martin, a big thank you for joining us on the radio.
You're welcome. Thank you,
John.
Cheers. Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
John Bentley and Manchester United legend Martin Buchan there from Saturday afternoon. To the football itself now and to Saturday's match with Southport. And with FC United looking to build upon last Sunday's draw with Bradford Park Avenue, it's over to FC Live now to hear how David Chadwick's side got on.
So, hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. And it's been raining cats and dogs and everything else in the last... 24 hours it's been.
Yeah,
it's
pretty much.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very slippery surface this afternoon.
Slick.
But welcome everyone to Broadhurst Park for another Saturday afternoon of sheer delight here on FC Live. I should say this match this afternoon is brought to you by the lovely people at FWP and City Build Manchester. And of course it's a great afternoon as well because the SMRE is open. Koshka Malcolm is back underway with the Scuttlers and the Mad Theatre Company and Martin Buchan. It's all been happening today, Paul.
It's been very eventful, yes. And it's good to see Martin Buchan, who was a hero of mine as a kid.
And 8 minutes to go to kick off. And 8 minutes to go before we see some debuts on the pitch, FC United. Some loanee signings coming, Paul.
Yeah, Blackburn have been very kind to us and sent a couple of youngsters down to help the cause. It's a fascinating contest today because we've got two struggling sides playing each other. Both have only got one win all season so far and it should be very even. I think unlike the Bradford game, where we were up against the team at the top of the table and obviously full of confidence, I'm not sure whether Southport will be giving that confidence off.
I mean, what we saw last week against Bradford Park Avenue was a team not quite sure in the opening 45 minutes, but as the game progressed, you started to see what Chaddy's been talking about, that adding a bit of slick passing, a bit of quick movement, a bit of tempo to the FC performance, and we started to see that towards the end of the Bradford game.
I think it was a bit of square pegs in round holes in terms of selection last Saturday. Well, Sunday, I should say, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Sunday. And Chaddy was forced into a couple of late changes, and it showed. But I think the team gradually grew with a bit of belief. And like he said during the week, the goal that we scored to make it 2-1 changed the mood within the players, and they actually started believing themselves a bit.
I mean, one thing we can tell you, for those people who are new to FC United, it might be listening on North Manchester FM, I don't know, but if you're unsure about what Dave Chadwick's all about, go back to those first couple of seasons. It was never say die attitude, and he led the way in that.
Yeah, Chaddy was a fearless man who drove his team as much as he could, and he just would not accept defeat. And I think he kicked every ball and headed every header last week on the touchline, as he said.
Well, if you watch our One More Cup of Coffee back on Facebook, it's amazing because we start a bit earlier before the full time whistle, and you can see he's on the pitch.
I think what Chaddy brings is passion, and he might not be the greatest tactically, and he'll probably admit that, but he does bring endeavour and passion to a team, and he will gear his team up today to do their best.
Now, one thing he was talking about was balance in his pre-match interview. He felt that we're a bit unbalanced on the left, and I think we picked that up in commentary last week,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
And he's gone straight to the loan market, Lewis Thompson joining us from Blackburn, and he's added some strike power as well. Kurt Willoughby being joined up front by Lewis Mansell, who also joins us on a month loan from Blackburn, joining the impressive Michael Donoghue, who came to us on loan last week from Fleetwood. He's in the starting 11 too.
Well, Chaddy mentioned the same thing I did last week. I don't know if you remember it, but it was the very first cross that Donoghue put in, which I think Litchfield headed wide, but it was the way he delivered the cross. It was a real winger's cross, in that it bypassed the defenders and picked off a striker because of the accuracy of it. And as soon as you saw him do that, you knew this is a player. This is definitely a player.
And it's annoying we've not done this in the past, because we've played other clubs like Charlie have done it numerous times, getting players from the Football League into the starting of them and having them pretty much all season.
How many times in the last couple of years have we come up against a team who've borrowed somebody from somewhere else, short term, and they've looked world beaters for that game and done us over? Basically on a lone player situation. And it's about time we got cuter with it as well.
And also coming back, because obviously Billy Crellin has gone, he delayed his departure for the England squad, but unfortunately he has to play for England against Belgium and Holland this week, the under-19s. Dave Carnell makes a reappearance in the squad, Paul.
Yeah, he made 151 appearances for us over the years, and I think it was only really injury that curtailed his involvement with FC. He had back problems for some time, and it's very difficult to carry a goalkeeper who's got a recurring injury.
So we reckon it's going to be 3-5-2 this afternoon when the teams do come out on the pitch. It has been raining loads. One thing we have to say about Southport is, going off their forums and stuff, they do like to play direct football, let's put it that way. So that's something that our defence needs to be aware of.
The two things that worry me in the Southport ranks is Dion Charles playing on the wide right, I think, who ran as ragged playing for Fylde. I don't know if you remember that game at Fylde where we got thrashed.
Yes.
And the other thing, of course, is Jason Gilchrist leading the front line. And we all know about Gilchrist and his goal scoring potential.
They won the Golden Boot last season, didn't they, Paul?
Yeah.
So the teams are now coming out onto the pitch. So it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon. It's Stato Paul. But first is Ben.
Well, here's Gilchrist now. Gilchrist checks inside into the penalty area. Goes down there. A leg was left hanging by O'Halloran. And Gilchrist did go down a bit too easily there. But
he's got it.
He's got it. So it's going to be a penalty to Southport.
Well, great chance for Gilchrist here to...
Yeah, well, 23 minutes on the clock here. It's a penalty to Southport. Jason Gilchrist to take it in front of the SMRE. And you can hear the reception he's getting from the FC faithful behind that goal. Dave Carnell's, what can he do in goal here? And the shot comes in, hits the inside of the post, goes right across the goal line. And now a play on the other side. Well, welcome back, Jason Gilchrist.
It's a funny old game, isn't it?
Josh Langley now towards the halfway line. He goes with the ball, plays the ball to Morgan. Good stuff there from Thompson, breaks that play up. And now here's Jones, nice pass back to Thompson on the left hand side. Thompson now plays it to Willoughby on the edge of the Southport box. Willoughby's twisting and turning. Willoughby lining up a shot. 35 minutes on the clock and FC United take the lead. A lovely, lovely finish there from FC United's number 10, Kurt Willoughby, Paul.
Well, we've talked about Willoughby before and his goal-scoring strengths. He manufactures a shot out of space there that he created for himself. The Southport defence, I think, thought they'd closed him down, but he just managed to work a little bit of an angle to find a spot, and I think the keeper was unsighted.
Can I just say something? Jones made that goal. We've been missing through balls like that for ages.
The Jones ball out wide was so measured, it just invited players to join the attack. And Willoughby's just on the streak of scoring already. He's got five now,
and it was good tenacity as well from Lewis Thompson in that build-up play as well. But a great finish from Kurt Willoughby, as you said. He made that space himself, and FC United on 35 minutes take the lead. Well, Southport living a bit dangerously that time, but FC United, Sam Baird tracking over there, winning that ball against Green. Out of play it goes for another throw-in to Southport. Another long throw-in. That purple towel being waved. And Ogle drives the ball. It's a throw-in to Southport. 10 minutes left to play here at Broadhurst. FC United 1-0 up. Ogle with this long throw-in into the FC box. Flicked on there by Sampson! Green heads the ball into the bottom corner. Carnell is livid. He spotted an infringement, but the referee boxed Carnell for his troubles, and Southport, with 9 minutes left to play here, equalise. Full time here at Broadhurst Park, and for the second game on the trot, FC United pick up a point, Paul. What a game.
I think the difference between the last game and this game is massive, in that we stole a point from the game last time out. This time we're going home disappointed because we couldn't hang on to the victory, which would have been the first home win of the season. But I think there were some very good plus points coming out of that game. I also think it was no accident that we conceded when Chris Lynch had gone off the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, the goal was a soft goal to concede, but Southport were trying that all the way through. Were you surprised about how one-dimensional Southport were?
Well, you were kind of tipped off about that, weren't you?
Yeah, I was a bit.
Yeah, especially with Gilchrist off the pitch, they were much more direct. It's hard. I think we have to take into account that FC have got some inexperience in the team at the moment. There's certainly three newcomers that are still bedding in, and it does show at times. I think that you've got to look at the big picture, in that we brought three new faces in, and it takes time to blend. But having said that, there were some very good performances in the team.
Let's talk about the performances. I mean, we've got basically, if we include the Bradford Park Avenue match last Sunday, we've got three loanees who've joined us in that time, and all three have added to the flavour of this game. Lewis Thompson, Lewis Mansell and Michael Donoghue. The first two obviously coming from Blackburn, Michael Donoghue joining us in Fleetwood. They've added something, haven't they? We've got a bit of spark in this squad all of a sudden.
They brought fresh legs and fresh enthusiasm into the team. But also some of the other players, like Mike Jones we talked about, certainly in the first hour of the game or so, was really good. His passing, his range of passing is really what we need to open the door for some of the other players. Chris Lynch outstanding at the back. It's a shame that injury finally cut short his afternoon. Other than that, we've got to say Mansell ran his socks off on his debut. Willoughby showed again that he's a goal scoring machine, that if you feed him enough he'll score goals. There's some good performances.
I mean, the man of the match, even though he went off with about, was it 15 minutes after play, he went off?
Yeah.
Chris Lynch, I mean, he had a foot race, didn't he, with Jason Gilchrist. Let's be honest, he was a goal machine last season, won the Golden Boot in the National League North. A foot race, and Lynch won it.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a much younger lad there against an older head who was carrying an injury, and Lynch beat him to the ball, and that was real determination and grit. The kind of thing that Chaddy would have much approved.
And how many times did Lynch not only win the ball, but also clear out a player, which again Chaddy would approve of?
Yes, I'm sure when you talk to him, he'll say there are certain aspects of the game that he very much admired. I think the manager will be absolutely devastated that they didn't get the win, because he'll probably say he thought they deserved to win it.
I think we probably did. I mean, let's talk about the goal we scored. Willoughby, the build-up play for it, there was such tenacity from Jones. I'll talk about Jones in a second, if that's all right, Paul, before you scamper.
Yeah.
But Jones and Thompson combining in the build-up. But Willoughby made space out of nowhere and a fine finish to take the lead.
He just manufactured a pocket of space on the edge of the box. And the way he played it, the goalkeeper's partly unsighted. So when the ball flashed towards him, it was struck too well to react to it. And it was a real goal-scorer's goal.
And it comes about five minutes after the penalty that Southport won, and Jason Gilchrist had the opportunity to take the lead for Southport, hit the inside of the post, went right across the goal, and actually that was Southport's only chance up until they scored, really, I think.
Yeah, I think we've got to give credit to Carnell for the penalty incident, because he did get into Gilchrist's head a bit for the penalty.
Yeah. I mean, Dave Carnell coming back, and I think he had a decent afternoon, didn't he? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Paul, you're going to scamper without even me saying goodbye. So, Paul Le Pen joins us. That's how Paul leaves us. Thank you, Paul, for joining us. We'll see you at Chester on Tuesday. But we were asked for it. I said he can come on as long as he doesn't swear. Paul Le Pen joins us now. How are you, Paul?
I'm fine, Ben, thank you.
Now, obviously, you're a member of the Armchair Army. All you can do is, most weeks, is rely on ourselves to feedback what you've seen. You've seen it in the flesh this afternoon. What's your thoughts?
Not as bad as you make out.
Oh, it's not like that. go on.
Oh, I was quite impressed from what I've heard and read. I was expecting a rather dire performance, but no, I thoroughly enjoyed it, yeah.
I mean, what we've seen today is a very different FC United to what we've seen. And
right.
You know, I mean, you've been involved with FC United for years.
Yeah.
I mean, there was an air, and I don't know if it is because of Chadder. Sorry, Mr. Chadwick. There was an air of a Gig Lane performance where you think to yourself, we're going to nick this right at the end.
It was all the way through. Number five, absolutely brilliant. Loved the guy.
One air, Chris Lynch.
Chris Lynch, absolutely. That was the way I used to play.
Was just, it really?
Oh, Christ, yeah. the ball was irrelevant. He was gone. Yeah, oh, magnificent.
I mean, are you here for the Chester game or are you going back?
Unfortunately, no, I'm here for the Guiseley game. I would have gone to the Chester game, but the...
Hey, come from Germany. I love you.
Guten Tag.
Love you too.
There we go.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Chester game was a late rearrangement and they've made other arrangements.
Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah, I'll be at Guiseley.
Well, Paul, a big thank you for all your support. Thank you for the Max Knobs. And as you represent the Armchair Army, thank you for your support wider. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
No
we
problem.
Appreciate it.
That's Paul Le Pen, as promised, as requested by the Armchair Army. And he only came on because you requested it. FC Live this afternoon, 1-1 the final score. We're going to be hearing from Chaddy shortly, but at the moment, because we've got no Emily Maguire, because we've got no James Quinn, I'm pretty much relying on people walking past. And at the moment, Mr. Tarper, would you like to just come on a second? So we're now joined by a special guest. It's Mr. Steve Tarper. Hello. What are you doing here?
Supporting a friend.
Have you been to a game since the Masters game last season? Have you?
No.
So what have you made of it today? I mean, Chaddy, the manager. I mean, it's that was a bit of a Chaddy performance, and you'll know this.
Passionate.
A bit like Gig Lane back in the day. It looked like we were going to nick it at the end.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think I was confident throughout the game. I thought there was only one winner if it continued the way it did. They piled the pressure on. They had a few set pieces towards the end, long throwing, caused a few problems. But I thought they dealt with it. Other than the one time where they scored, I thought it was dealt with quite well. And I thought they hit them on the break. To be fair,
I mean the wing play and the attacking play. One thing we've been missing, which you don't know, but the one thing we've been missing is that forward play and finesse and tenacity up front and stuff. What have you made of the forward play this afternoon from FC? The players you've seen.
I think the number 10 for FC was the best player on the pitch.
Willoughby.
Yeah, very good. I thought number 11, I believe
he's on loan from Fleetwood, don't he?
Yeah, yes. Come very good, very well. I think he'll get better as he gets used to the league, is used to the players, used to everything else. I thought they looked a handful. I think it's an interesting period.
It is an interesting period. Obviously, you say, you know, Willoughby's the best player on the pitch. Chaddy's going to say, sorry, Mr. Chadwick, he's going to say it's...
Gaffer.
He's going to say it's Chris Lynch, isn't it? So, I mean, it's...
Exactly. I think we all have a bias, don't we, in terms of how we look at it. I think I don't know all the players well enough. I think the number six for FC, again, the captain, was very good.
O'Halloran, yes.
Yeah, very good. I thought he didn't look to put a foot wrong. He looked calm. He looked like he organised the back three, then back four. Left footage, it makes a difference. Obviously, those lefties are going to stick together. But no, all jokes aside, I think those two players are going to be big for the team from what I saw today.
And what are you up to at the moment? I think the last time we spoke, you were.
I'm over the blue side of Manchester working hard at the minute.
You see that you were doing that last time.
But yeah, I'm still doing that, trying to earn a living and keeping my head down. I love what I do. I get to work in football every day, so I've got absolutely zero complaints in terms of what I do. Although I have tried to keep my head down a little bit today and just enjoy the game for what it was. But I've got to say, it is the first time I've been back. I thought it seemed like FC United spirit.
It did, didn't it?
It did. And I haven't been to many games,
no.
But I asked a few people about the attendance. I thought the attendance was good. It was lively. It was constant chanting. And I think I've obviously spoke to Chaddy a bit recently with him coming in. I think he represents everything this club's about. So hopefully that can continue.
And obviously I'm not that I encourage this kind of thing, but any City players you could recommend from the youth? The academy squad's pretty good at City, I believe. So
there's some good players. There's some good players. I think whether that's a possibility at this moment, I'm not sure.
You can always get yourself back. That'd be handy.
well, I saw one player on here today who had the same diet plan as me, so I thought I could maybe get involved at some point. I was looking at it thinking maybe get the boots dusted off.
You're not as big as them.
Thanks. I never said it, did I?
Well, Steve, no. A big thank you for joining us, my friend. It's a pleasure to have
pleasure.
You back.
Anytime.
And I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Nice one, mate.
FC United legend Steve Torpy there speaking on Saturday's FC Live. So back-to-back draws for FC United in the league, and after the match Ben caught up with FC United caretaker manager David Chadwick.
That was brilliant, that. It was a proper dogged display, but there must be a bit of disappointment there that we didn't nick it at the end.
Yeah, I am very disappointed. We set up a game plan and it worked great. First 20 minutes, 25 minutes, we went at them, you know, and I thought, there you go, they've got it. You know, we got fortunate with a penalty, you know, not clearing our lines. I think that's been happening, you know, before I got involved. You know, keep the basics right, that should be still flying now. So, you know, we got away with that one, but then, you know, we went again. They had 10, 15 minutes in the first half where they just pegged us back a bit. And then, you know, they got going again, and then obviously half time 1-0, we went in, and there's still so much work to do. You know, the game's not over, and you know we had gaskets being blown and there's injuries, and you know you're patching people up and putting them back out, and you know it's in an ideal world you'd have made a few subs straight away, but you know in them positions you were struggling on that side, so we just want to keep the ball but keep a bit more in the final third. Yep, it was better, but we didn't create enough. We started off great. We put some great balls in early doors, you know, from the left wing back, put some great little ones in, and we were on the ascendancy. But slowly, as the game went on in the second half, we stopped doing it, and it got a bit scrappy. And they went, I can't remember, it's straight after the game, but I can't remember making the keeper make any saves. I'd have to think again later on when my mind stopped spinning. But, you know, we were comfortable.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're a big, strong team. You know, and Chris Lynch was by far the best player on the pitch. And it hurt me taking him off.
But it's funny because we had Steve Taupe on a second ago, and he said the best player was Kurt Willoughby, and I said, that's great, but you're a striker. Yeah. You know who Chaddy's going to say is the best player?
Chris Lynch.
Because Chris Lynch, you could tell he's been talking to you for a bit. I mean, he was a good player anyway, but some of the he cleared out so many players there on the halfway line, and that foot race he's having with Jason Gilchrist down here, which he wins.
Which he won, and I thought he was going to punch me when he come off, and he said, I'm fine. And when he looked at me, he went, me? I'm fine.
He went down injured about five times during the game.
Yeah, I know. He's a warrior, and you need warriors. And, you know, they're about the set pieces and they're about direct football. So you need your big lads to raise it and be big. And they were awesome. And then it's just, again, I thought we switched off on the goal. And it happens. You know,
well, I mean, they had so many throw-ins, and that was the only one that got through.
Yeah, we defended them really well. And I've just said to the lads there, you know, don't want anything negative. You know, that should have been 3 points. You know, it's not. But it's 2 undefeated.
I first interviewed you in the caretaker role, and you were saying that one thing I want is tempo. I want passing with purpose, and I want us to be competitive. We saw glimpses of that in the first half against Bradford. We certainly saw it in the second half against Bradford Park Avenue. And we've seen it all the way through this game pretty much. And that brings me to the question of Jones. Now, Jones has been a player who's... I've not seen him play well since the second half against Spennymoor last Christmas.
Right.
And he's been in and out, and you can see the promise there, but he's not really delivered on it. Today he's come back. He's slightly bigger. Mm. It's noticeable. And his passing has been...
He's a big, strong lad. First half, he was quality. He was on the ball. He was cutting them open. His little touches, giving himself space, getting out wide, getting it back. You know, on the hour, I'd have took him off because he'd ran himself into the ground.
That's the thing, he hasn't played, has he? So.
No, exactly. And that's what I said to
him
before
the game. Where's that decision come from to put him in? Because he's been on loan at Padham. He's not been playing at Padham. Where's the decision to come from?
He should have been playing. He was playing last week until, obviously,
he got
pulled out. I wanted somebody in there that can spy a pass and play it nice and sharp. Mike Jones does that all day. You know, he knows himself, he needs to be fitter, and he needs to work off the ball a lot harder. But, you know, I saw it today. You know, at times he drops a bit deep in the first half, so I had to push him a bit on, but he's a great talent. He's so good on the ball, and it looks a bit like he doesn't believe in himself. You know, he's so quiet and... Like, you know, believe in yourself. Look what you can do with that football. You know, you can split pass it. You've got an eye for a pass, and you can, you know, just work. He needs to up his work rate, and it'll come. That's 90 minutes will do him good there today.
Absolutely. And obviously, we've got Loneys who've joined us. I mean, what did you make of the Blackburn lads?
They got chucked in the deep end. They didn't even see us training Thursday. You know, it's, you know, per a great lads. They were texting me last night and this morning. You know, they give it their all. I took Mansell off because he had said he'd looking tired.
I mean, Thompson was in a game when he with Deion Charles anyway. Yeah. Before the game even kicked off, you knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's a step up from academy football. What he's having to play there.
And he was playing wing back, and he knew where I wanted him. He knew I wanted him up here. Then he knew I wanted him in there. And he was sucking it in, and he kept going and going. And he's great on the ball. He didn't shirk, and you know he's a talent, you know. He's a bit disappointed in there because he's not come away with a win, and rightly so.
I mean, heading into Chester now. I mean, you're undefeated now as you care to. We've played two decent sides so far. Chester's going to be a tricky game. I mean, what are you expecting from them? What's the injuries like? I mean, like you said, Lynch is like RoboCop.
yeah. I'm just waiting for him to come and slap me now for taking him off still. But you know, he sat there behind me and went, "I don't think I could go any further." But he wants to come off, He wanted to come off, and he should have come off 10 minutes before, and I just froze for 10 minutes thinking, if I leave him on, just another... You know, I wanted him to get through as much as I could, but then it could have gone on him, and I'd lose him for 4 or 5 weeks. You know, he's not here next week anyway. He's, you know, so he's missing Geisley anyway. So, you know, that'll give him a bit of rest. He's doubtful for Tuesday.
He's doubtful for Tuesday.
I'm trying to think about what I'd have done. But he's doubtful for Tuesday. I can't say. I'll be surprised.
Now, Tuesday then. What are you? Because this is your first away game.
It is.
It's at a very. It's going to be a lively game. I mean, matches against Chester have always been lively affairs. I mean, what are you hoping for?
It's another hard. They're an hard-working team. It was strong. He'll work. You know, they'll try and out bully you. They'll try. You know, they're quite direct at times. But it'll be an hard game. You know, they're all hard games. It's, you know, Jono and Bernard, they'll set them up hard to beat straight away.
But last week we saw you bouncing around on the touchline, even encroaching on the field of play, which is disgraceful, Chad, if you don't mind me saying. Enjoying it?
Of course I am. Of course I am. I tried to slow down a bit in there today, a bit conscious. I do get a bit giddy because I want every ball, one, you know, and I want to pass every ball. I want to squeeze them up. I want to be in there with them pushing and, you know, And I want them to just, you know, if they were, I didn't have much talent, you know, I'm not going to lie, I was a centre-half, I just worked hard, you know, and I'd come win that ball. And so some of these lads with the attributes they've got, you know, I'd have loved something like that. And, you know, some of the attitudes on young kids these days, they don't work hard enough, and you see it and you think, you know, just go and work hard, you know, and you'll be even a better player. So, I don't even know what I'm talking about now, You're doing well. I'm tired.
Chaddy. Well done today. I said to Torps before that it had the air of Gig Lane back in the day, and the fact that it looked like we were going to nick it at the end, and that's what it's all
great
about.
Great save at the end.
Yeah,
I didn't even know we had a right foot, Alas, and he's, you know, and it worked offside. It was the one after it, so that would have been 2-1, and we deserved it. We deserved it for me. They were vulnerable.
Hey, onwards and upwards. And speaking of onwards and upwards, Keg is giving me daggers, so you've got to go do your TV interview.
No worries.
But a big thank you for joining us.
No
and congratulations
problem. Thank
again.
You.
FC United caretaker manager David Chadwick speaking on FC Live following FC's 1-1 draw with Southport on Saturday afternoon. To find out now where that point leaves FC United in the league table, and for all the other results from a busy afternoon in the National League North, it's over to Marv Willers now for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and hello everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. With that point for FC United, the Reds still remain bottom of the table, but have closed the gap on the teams above them, while Southport remain within the relegation zone themselves. Ashton United are now 2 points ahead of FC, just outside the relegation places, following a 5-0 home thumping from league leaders Chorley. Chorley, incidentally, now sit top of the table, 7 points clear. Blythe Spartans, they also sit 2 points ahead of FC, following a 3-1 defeat at Kidderminster. However, Tuesday's opponents for FC United, Chester, they managed to move 3 points away from the bottom of the table following an impressive 5-3 victory over Bradford Park Avenue. Bangarang. Darlington also moved away from FC, defeating second place Telford by 3-0. There was a good win for Curzon Ashton too, who won the local derby at Altrincham by 2-0. And speaking of defeats, in South Manchester, Stockport County lost at Edgeley Park to Boston United by 2-0. Goals, I'm sure you'll agree. And there were also wins for Brackley, Geisley and Spennymoor. And that concludes this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Farewell.
Thanks, Marv. Next up for the Reds will be a tough away trip on Tuesday evening at the Swansway Chester Stadium as FC United take on Chester. For more on Chester now, here's the Chester Chronicle's Dave Powell.
Well, there was a lot of hope at the start of the season that it would be a clean slate. I mean, a whole new management team, new bunch of players. But we started the season well, draw against Spennymoor and then a win against Curzon Ashton. But then we had that horror show at Blythe Spartans. And then the day after that, it was... a torrential downpour in Chester caused some severe water damage to critical parts of the the Divas infrastructure, namely the CCTV systems and the PA systems, without which you can't host home games. So it's been we've been away from the Diva for the past month and only had actually two away games prior to the weekend against Bradford Park Avenue. But it's a lot of fans are kind of think it's like classic Chester. I mean, given the car crash of a season we had last season, it just seemed like almost a continuation, like someone was there with a big pin sticking it into a voodoo doll with Chester's club crest on its face or something. It's been trying, but I mean, it does appear now all the work's been completed and we've had a win at the weekend and we had a draw against Guys. It seems like the corner's been turned a little bit now, so hopefully the season can start in earnest now.
I mean, it's interesting you mentioned that Blythe match because I think on the same evening or the same week anyway, FC United beat Altrincham and it was our first win of the season. We were like, oh, great, we could keep this momentum going. Then Chester get walloped by that scoreline against Blythe and we think to ourselves, they're going to be really chomping at the bit to make that right. And then the game got called off. That result at the weekend, though, against Bradford Park Avenue, do you reckon that's the real Chester this season that Jono and Bernard want to see?
Certainly going forward. It wasn't without its issues at the back. I mean, we conceded three sloppy goals and we didn't look... I mean, 7 days previous against Geisler, the defensive performance is probably the bedrock of a decent point. But on Saturday, it was... whereas previously this season, we've probably lacked a bit of cutting edge in the final third. We looked really at it. I mean, we were countering superbly, moving the ball well for the final third, and all our attacking players were in sync. But defensively, we weren't at it. But hopefully, I mean, once we marry those two things, then I'm still hopeful of a good season for us. I mean, I think the players we brought in are more than proven at this level for the most part. And I think it's a case of it's going to take time. It's like any new manager comes in, you know, you're trying to put your own imprint on a team. And it's not, I mean, we started off with a clean slate in terms of players, but there's still a hangover in terms of a fan base of some pessimism because of what we've been through, you know. So you're trying to change that mentality from a losing one to a winning one, and that takes time.
What's the expectation for what Chester can do this season, and what's the hope amongst the support? Is it to bounce back first time round?
I don't think so. I think, I mean, our happiest memories since we reformed were coming through the Evo Stick Leagues and through the National League North. Obviously, had games against yourself on that journey. For the most part, the National League was pretty unhappy. And you look at it this season, it's made up mostly of Southern sides. I mean, I don't think any Chester fans are in a massive rush to get back there very quickly. But in terms of what we expect, I just to be competitive again and to win games of football. And if we're in the mix for the playoffs towards the end of the season and we've got a chance of getting in it, I think that represents some real success. But I think I know the early talk among the bookmakers was title talk. I don't think anyone was really thinking that, because I think there's some misconceptions about the type of money that we're able to spend. And I know people see the donation we have from Stuart Murphy, but that's not, you know, that's not made available for the most part for the playing budget. But it's a case of just not consolidation, but just being competitive again and just getting people interested again and getting the buzz back, which is, it's been for the past 2 or 3 years. And hopefully a pretty positive season can turn that around and then we can build on that for next season. But I think that's the idea, is kind of a playoff push at best, really.
And just a couple of questions for the end here, Dave. We all know about the damage at the Diva over the last month or so. Is that all settled now? Obviously, you hosted Bradford, so I'm assuming it's all settled. And finally, who's your tips for the runners and riders this season for the top end?
Well, for the first question, it's all done now. The work was completed Wednesday last week, and then we had a sign-off and safety certificate granted on Thursday. A lot of hard work from contractors and volunteers alike to get it done over the course of a couple of weeks. New PA system, CCTV system. So it's all fine now. There's a few cosmetic things which need to be addressed, but nothing which will stop a game going ahead. And the pitch looks in fantastic condition. So there'll be no issues with tomorrow's game going ahead. In terms of runners and riders this season, I mean, Chorley's started like a house on fire, and it's quite surprised actually. I mean, they were a good side from last year, but I thought losing Matt Janssen pre-season might knock them out of kilter a bit, but they've really flown at it. Maybe that continuity, having Jamie Vermiglio at the helm, has allowed for that. I still think Stockport will be up there, but it's a tough one. I think it's going to be so tight. I think Spennymoor will do well. Telford have started well, so there's some teams who perhaps I wasn't expecting to have such a flying start, who've who've kind of put themselves in the mix and others that are struggling. I mean, Southport were one at the start of the season. A lot of people were tipping to do very well indeed, but they've struggled massively. It's still finding itself out, this league, I think. And I think over the course of the next month or two, we'll start to see who is actually making a genuine play for positions at the top end and who might be in a bit of danger.
I agree with you, though. I mean, Charlie, 7 points clear after 9 games. That's very impressive.
Yeah, you can't overlook that, no, really. You know, it's been an absolute phenomenal start, and all credit to him. And obviously, they had disappointment in the last year, not going up. But maybe, I don't know, they've got that core of players now, haven't they? And it's probably bedded in after a couple of years now. So they know what they're about, and they've got an identity. So could work in their favour. I think they certainly look like the ones to beat so far.
Well, Dave, big thank you for joining us. ChesterChronicle.co.uk, the place to go if you want the inside track on everything that's going on at Chester. But Dave, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Take care.
Dave Powell there from the Chester Chronicle, and you can follow Dave's work on Twitter. Just search for @_Dave Powell. Tuesday's match then with Chester will kick off at 7:45 p.m. and the address for the ground is the Swans Way Chester Stadium, Bumpers Lane, Chester, CH1 4LT. That's the Swans Way Chester Stadium, CH1 4LT. The match will be segregated and pay on the gate, with FC fans being allocated the south stand turnstiles of 8 and 9 and west stand turnstile 7. But as always, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Tuesday evening from 7:30 p.m. online on www.fc-radio.co.uk, as well as on your radios via North Manchester 106.6 FM in and around North and Central Manchester. FC United are calling on all supporters to get involved in the BP Boost, a development fund initiative set up to help raise much-needed funds to assist the club in clearing its outstanding debts. BP Boost has been established to encourage all supporters to try and raise £20 a month any way they can. So if you'd like to get involved in the BP Boost, please email vinnie.thompson@fc-utd.net for your fundraising pack, leaving your name and address. Make no mistake, every penny counts. So join the BP Boost Drive today. Thank you. That's nearly it for this week's show, but just before I go, just a quick mention for this weekend's football. FC United men's team will be travelling to Guiseley this Saturday. The address for the ground is Nethermoor Park, Otley Road, Guiseley, West Yorkshire, LS28BT. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. While on Sunday, the women's team kick off their league campaign as FC United host Fleetwood Town in the main stadium at Broadhurst Park. Kick-off on Sunday will be at 2 p.m. And as always, we'll have full commentary available right here on www.fc-radio.co.uk for those of you who cannot make these matches in person. But that's the end of This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.